Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. This wonderful text follows immediately after the baptism of Jesus. Jesus has been baptized by John, and there appeared above him the Holy Spirit as like a dove, and it rested on him, and God said, "This is my child, in whom I am well pleased." Later on, as Jesus was just walking along, minding his own business, on the next day, John saw Jesus coming toward him. And John points to him and says, "Look, here is the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. This is the one who I said, after me comes this one." And I have this image of Jesus who was on his way to get a falafel going, "Oh man, crazy people everywhere." And then a little while later, he's walking by again. And then John points out, as John's standing there with his disciples, points again and says, "Look, it's the Lamb of God. It's the Messiah, the Anointed One. I didn't know him, but God has revealed him. Look, it's the Lamb of God." And Jesus turns to them, and so often I think we miss this. You know, Jesus turns as these two disciples are following him. They're curious about what's going on. And Jesus turns to them and says, "What did you come to see?" I think there's some annoyance in Jesus' voice. So often when I've heard this text, it's sort of, "What did you come to see, my brothers? Shall we have some tea?" I think Jesus is annoyed. "What do you want? What have you come to see?" And the disciples say, "Where are you staying, Rabbi? Where are you abiding?" And there's the question of the day for the text. That's where we need to focus today. That question, "Where are you staying, Lord? Where are you abiding?" And Jesus turns to them and says, "Come and see." Anybody know where Jesus was staying? You good Lutherans, blank look. No, the text doesn't say. It doesn't say whether he was staying in a Best Western or a Hyatt or a little hole in the ground. We have no idea where Jesus was staying. Why is that? And I think that's the heart of the text. Do you remember how John begins? "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was with God, Word was God," this Logos, this Christ. "And the Word was spreading all over the place and part of creation, and the Word became flesh in John and abided with us." The Word is tabernacled, pitched tent, stayed with us. The disciples asked Jesus, "Where are you tabernacling? Where are you abiding?" John's already answered the question. With us. Christ, Emmanuel, as it says in Matthew, this Christ Emmanuel, God with us, is dwelling amongst us in the flesh. Where are you staying, Lord? You're supposed to think, with us. Christ Emmanuel. Now, you ought to be nervous right about now. Moses got nervous when he got too close to that burning bush. Do you remember the scene, Charlton Heston? Right? Approaching the burning bush. I mean, you know, in its time, what fantastic effects. Now we look at them and go, Seriously? Seriously? You know, where's the big effects guy? But Moses is walking up to the burning bush and God says, take off your shoes. God spoke really slowly in the Old Testament. For you are on holy ground. We should be afraid of this Emmanuel God with us, shouldn't we? To be in the presence of God? And yet there we are. God has said, I will be with you and dwell with you. Where are you going? Where are you staying, Jesus? With you. Now, I don't know about you, but I like my gods far off and amenable. And most of us do. We just as soon keep our gods nicely in a display case. Now, last week I gave you a hard time and said, you know, here's your baptism, it's a picture. What are you going to do with it? You can keep it nicely on the shelf and keep it pretty, or you could, like, fill it with water and pour it out, which is what pitchers are for. And in the same way, I don't know, God, that close, that intimate, that involved with my daily life? For goodness sake, God, stay on Sunday. And stay safe. And stay nice. But what this text says is that God doesn't stay there. That's the power. This God, this supreme being, this incredible power in the universe, doesn't stay safely as an idea in our heads or a feeling in our hearts or ensconced in the books of theology or, for goodness sake, trapped in a cabinet in the church, or safely under the altar. That's not where God is. God chooses in this Gospel of John to be Emmanuel, God with us. And those two disciples, Andrew and Simon, come to know him. And then it gets messy, because they suddenly feel compelled to tell someone. The Messiah is here. You know, not just like John. Look, it's the Lamb of God. Look, it's the Messiah. Look, he's over there. They begin to testify about this one. Now, how many of you have ever been to a church where they have testimony? Don't be chicken. Raise your hand. Thank you. You've been to a church. How was it?
Pretty exciting.
Pretty exciting, right? You know, people get up and they say, when I was a young kid, I was so depressed and I was having so many problems and suddenly I came to know Jesus and my life changed. And everybody's thinking to themselves, me too. And people are getting excited. And then another person goes up and tells their story about Jesus. And all the Lutherans who are visiting in the church sink a little lower in the pew. They're talking about Jesus. They're talking about themselves. As if Jesus is real and present and pitching tent with them. We get nervous about testimony, and yet right there in the Gospel of John, it says that Andrew and Cephas began to testify. Now, I'm not expecting that many of you are going to go out, you know, down to Baratania Street at hotel and begin to testify. I'd love to see it, actually. You know, this is a Lutheran testifying. I found Jesus. Excuse me? I found Jesus. Did you say you found Jesus? I'm not going to tell. That's how most of us, not just Lutherans, but so many Christians, were afraid to testify to the power of God in our lives. And yet, this God, this Messiah, this Lamb of God, in this season of Epiphany, is revealed in you. With your hands as you care for the poor. With your voices as you share words of care and love with one another and with a stranger. The testimony that Jesus is Lord, that the Christ is present, that the Lamb of God is in and with and through us, woven through our very being, is testified in your life. You are the testimony. By what you give and how you live. What you say and how you welcome. The way you forsake judgment for the sake of love. And every once in a while, when the Spirit just happens to catch you, when you're off guard and not really thinking about it, maybe even in those times, when you share what God means with another person. The core of who we are and how we live as Christian community begins in our testimony. It says in the psalm that you heard, the wonderful Peter Halleck piece, I loved it. It's very interesting to hear. It says how God put a new song in my mouth. A song of praise for our God. And many shall see and stand in awe. And they will hear through your singing and your preaching and your teaching and your living and your hands and your feet, your eyes and your welcome and your love. And then the world will know that the Lord has truly become flesh. The Word has become flesh and pitched tent with you. Where are you abiding, Lord? The disciples asked. And Jesus said, come and see. Our lives are wrapped up in coming and seeing how the Lord is dwelling, pitching tent with you and the whole world. And then we tell the story. Amen.